Well, good morning. This is, I got to check your calendar. I do have a calendar. I'm not at school anymore. This is June 9th. Yes, folks, I'm at my house now. June 9th, we are in part four of Issues of Life, the Daily Issues of Life. For people that are, like I said earlier in our little pre-talk here, that they hate Christianity, they hate the arrogance, they hate the conceitedness, the confusion that's there. And so we're going to talk about day-to-day things that you hear about in the street out there, and the confusion and the irritation and the hate towards God and the Bible that has been a result of all this stuff. So we'll just pick different issues as time goes on here, and some will be reviews, some of them will not be. This is sort of a review, but not quite. We add a lot more to it as time goes on. We can do that. And we are going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 here. We're going to look at prayer. I know, we already know about it. We know pray without ceasing, etc., etc. But let's do a closer look at prayer. We've talked about in the past, quite a while ago actually, Paul's prayers. And I said there were way back then, I said, let me check my notes here. I said way back when that there were like four or five big ones from Paul, but there's some other ones too that he mentions. So we're going to look at this in a different fashion. When we first did this, we looked at, like everything going right here, that's on, this is all going, the camera's on, okay. We first did this, we talked about the details of the prayers years ago. Then I brought it up again and reviewed them a little bit, and we talked about, are we a disappointment to Paul because of what he prayed for towards us? And would we be the reason for some of his tears? You know, and over the years, I have come to know Paul as a person. And I like this. I think it's been really interesting to get to study the life of Paul, what Paul thought, not only what he taught to us, but the struggles and the stress that he went through to preach and to teach this stuff. And he had something that I don't have much as much as he has, and that's the care and the love for the people, no matter how they mess up. He even talks about his grace, not just the grace that he had from Christ, but his own grace. And I'm not very good to that in the long run. I get kind of irritated and frustrated, and because of my pride, I understand all that stuff, you know. So we've looked at the details of his prayers. We asked ourselves years ago if we were part of his disappointment, part of his tears. But today we're going to go through these prayers. We're going to go through them in closer detail than usual. I'm going to ask this questions to myself and everybody else that listens to this one day or another. Do we even desire Paul's prayers for us? Now in Ephesians 2:3, it says here, you know, I guess we should go to 1. And there will be notes available, by the way, for all this. I got time to do that. 1-3 here. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a word. Where we were in our lost years. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now here we go. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So what we see here is we see a description of what our past is supposed to be, not our present. Because he says, again, verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. Well, we still struggle with the course of this world. We still do. Now, we know Paul in Romans 7 says that he struggled, he fought. He fought with his mind. He wanted to do the right thing with God, and his flesh, he wanted to follow the sin that's in him. So it wasn't him that did it. It was the sin that was in him that he chose, you know, kind of a thing. So we know that. So we all go through that. But the question here is, what are our desires? Do we still battle, of course we do, the desires of the flesh and of the mind? So, if we still have the desires of the mind, We can fix that by our Bible reading. A very simple point. We all know this. If we just stay in our Bible and read this stuff, knowing what's rightly divided and all that, which we'll see more things here as we grow in the knowledge of God, that gives where our victories come from, and our joy, etc., etc. But he also talks about the desires of the flesh. Well, we still fight those every day. Every day, every night, every morning, every day at work, every day at home, every day in the car, every day on the radio. For the young people out there, the radio is something we listen to that you can't see. You just have to listen. And it's live. What kind of desires do we have? So my question has to be, do we desire what Paul praised for us to take place in our life? Okay? That's the question we're going to deal with here. So let's look at the death of a modern Christian, meaning that they're not really a Christian, but they got this Christian appearance, this Christian walk, and this all this kind of stuff. Imitation, I guess the word would be. I need to write that down. Imitation, because you go to an imitation church by an imitation pastor who puts out an imitation sermon, and they listen to imitation. Somebody's trying to call. Okay. Imitation sermon in an imitation church with imitation Christians with an imitation salvation because they're following an imitation Savior who's trying to be God, which makes him an imitation God. That's what's going on. In the course of this world, that's called religion. And for us to know the difference of the truth and what's not truth is only and totally because we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And that's it. If you think about the battles we have and the things that we deal with, the flesh, these desires, it all boils down to this fight that we have is because we believe this Bible to be the Word of God. We can tell everybody else our thoughts and our opinions about stuff and these teachings and the whole thing, but if it really gets down to some verbal fisticuffs, you're going to be talking about this is the Word of God and what you have isn't. So you throw out what you've been taught and get back into this King James Bible. We believe that to be the Scriptures, the Word of God, the words of God, preserved, inspired, and the list goes on. And nothing's changed except printing errors and stuff like that. So we believe that. So because we believe that, we believe everything Paul said, because Paul said he spoke to Christ face to face and Christ taught him stuff to teach to us. So he prayed for his people. He prayed for those people that would follow Paul as he followed Christ. So when we're going to go to the Scriptures, the Word of God, and we're going to hear what it is about the death of a fake modern Christian, the spiritual life of a modern Christian. We're going to look at the facts that Paul did pray for us. We need to know that he did, not just because I said he did. We're going to look at those verses. Then we're going to go through the details of what he prayed for. And my question is, do we desire what he's praying for? Well, I know Paul is dead and gone, but I know he's alive. This is the Bible, and this is what God told him to tell us. So this is pretty much what Christ wants us to do, wants us to know, wants us to have. But Paul is the guy. He's our man. He's our apostle. He's the guy that went through everything that we're going through. Yes, he did. And Christ did as well. But Paul had to go through this stuff too. And so when Paul talks to us like he talks to us and prays for us like he does, he's sincere. He wants this to happen. And Christ says, listen, this can happen in our lives if we desire it. So then we'll summarize this whole thing. And the goal of this whole thing is to help us realize on a day-to-day basis, daily, practical life, because I've heard people say, well, Paul isn't practical. No, Paul isn't practical to the world, to the course of the world. But Paul is very practical for a sincere Christian. It's just that Paul says we're going to have to suffer persecution when we want to do the right thing. So if these prayers are going to be answered in our lives because we desire them in our life, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to endure hardness like a soldier. We're going to have to be willing to suffer persecution. We're going to have to be willing to take it on the chin. We're going to have to be willing to maybe lose a job over the stuff. Not have to. Estimate a lot of that job loss is our fault in some cases. The day-to-day suffering we have within the family It's there. You're not going to. We cannot please this world and please God with our walk at the same time. We just talked about that recently in Corinthians. Okay, so this has some daily personal practical gain, and yes, it has to be in two parts. That means some of you are going to miss it tonight. And I know it's available. It's going to be online. It's going to be available online. But I doubt that some people will take the time to listen to it because some people probably won't let them. Your lifestyle won't let you. Your time schedule won't let you. Your desire has to be, I need to review these things, what Paul's praying for me, what Christ wants me to receive and have and da-da-da-da. And I want to reevaluate my life. This is what they call an invitation. And I want to see how I'm doing. I want to get back to this stuff. I want to see what Paul's desires are for me. And if they're not happening, you know, investigate it. Remember, we're going to examine. We're going to expound. I don't even have the list in front of me. All these things about daily issues of life. And one of them was prayer. Now, here we go. For example, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What we have happening to most people today, because they don't believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God, but then we also have those that do believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, but they're rightly divided according to their preacher, according to their guru, according to the artistic guru, according to the guy that swoos everybody, and according to the guy that doesn't talk about Timothy and Titus, which is the mid-actors. I'll say it every time. That's my gripe. And I know who they are. I know who they are on the internet. I know who they are on Pal Talk. And I listen to them, and I see them wooing, there's not swoo, but wooing people with their knowledge and their preaching about Paul's doctrine, but they never, never talk about all of Timothy and all of Titus. They just don't. They don't dare. Why don't they dare? Because I've done it, and it killed the church. I did it. I say I done it, I should have said I have done it, and it killed the church, it killed people's relationships, and now that I got out of that whole picture, they're right back to the course of this world. And yet they still say that they're a Paul-following Christian. They're mid-actors, what they are. And I say mid-actor because it's acting. I know it sounds rough and sounds unloving, but I lose so many people to the mid-act crowd. From our website, they go over to the San Diego website crowd and the mid-actors, and they do it down south. I can tell you who they are, who they went to, and I'll tell you why. Those guys did not talk about Timothy and Titus. I've seen the pictures on the websites. I see how happy they appear because that's their goal, is just to be happy. The ladies aren't wearing the right kind of stuff. The ladies are running the ship. The guys are what guys are, and it just goes on. Okay, enough of the mid-actor bash. Let's look at this thing in 2 Timothy here, chapter 3. Having a form of godliness, this is where Paul's talking about in the last days, perilous times shall come. So these things have been getting, if you've been around long enough, which some of us have, I've been around for 63s. I know our Wilma down there in, I think it's Kentucky, she's been around a lot longer than that. A real strong grandma, sticking up for what's right, grandma, down there, I hear that. And this word Paul describes, to me, the modern Christian, because verse 5 is a spiritual application. I mean, if you go through verse 2, this is so fun to be home and just to be talking and not to have to be at school and everything, but just relax here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, we know that's the problem. Covetous, big-time Americans, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Ooh, you ought to teach in the school. Unthankful, unholy. Unholy. So there's a little holiness reference there. Without natural affection. We know where that's at, even with mothers and their children. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, lacking restraint, etc., etc. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Yeah, there's that. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Yes, they are, because the high-minded trust is in their riches. Lovers of pleasures, plural means the specifics, more than lovers of God. Then it brings in this one. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, these Christians, these so-called Christians, these modern Christians, they fit that bill more and more every day. And it says in verse 6, they creep into the houses, we know they have, and lead captive silly women. It doesn't say lazy men, it says silly women. There's a ton of learning going on, but they're never going to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are men of corrupt minds, verse 8. Resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Pretty messy deal. But let's go back to verse 5. They deny the power thereof. So as a result of this prayer, these prayer verses, I'll read to you here in a second here. As a result of what they hear in their churches and what they hear people saying when they're on the roof working, I will pray for you down there, brother, that you have a better day and that you get your car, all that kind of stuff. You know, we hear this all the time. You hear it all the time. Now here's where they get this stuff from. So what I'm saying here, these are verses that are in their gospels and are in their tribulation books that they pop out there and they are denying the power thereof. Because this stuff isn't going to happen. They're not going to get blessed because they're living such a good, godly life. I can bunny trail this whole thing all day long here. Okay, we start off in Matthew. He calls it prayer and fasting. Albeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You hear people talk about prayer and fasting all the time. The house of prayer, they call it. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. We know where that's coming from. So how many people call the church a house of prayer? Let's all get together and let's pray. Let's have those nighttime prayers. Let's have a prayer service. Let's have a prayer week. All that kind of stuff. Matthew 21, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. How many young people, how many kids, how many anybody pray for things and they never receive? Well, then the pastor says, yes, but you didn't pray in God's will. Oh, stop it. It says right here, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing. Well, how many of you have heard these people say, oh, I really believe, I believe God will give me that. Give me. He will do that for me. He will fix my kids. He will help me with my job. Ooh, I just got fired. What happened? I didn't pray for that. I believe. Oh, then, here you go. Then you get to coaches. Oh, don't get me started on this one. You win the game, you just didn't believe hard enough. No, they scored more baskets than you did. You didn't mean maybe you didn't try hard enough. You maybe got nervous and you missed the hoop and all that stuff, or you threw the pass and it slipped out of your fingers, or whatever. But it wasn't because you didn't believe enough. Listen, I can grab a basketball and I believe I can go play these guys and beat them. But I believe it. I believe it. So when it doesn't happen, we're denying the power thereof, because this isn't the way God wants it today. This is not today. Here, Luke 1 says, Luke 1 verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. How many people have you said, how many kids are you going to have? I'm going to have as many as God gives me. No, God is not going to give you any prayers. Your husband is. God is not going to give you any children. Your husband is. Don't you know that by now you've got 11 kids? Don't you realize that it isn't God giving you those kids, lady? Oh. Okay, here we go. Luke 2:37. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Now, ladies, widow, whatever, yeah, you can pray all day. That's fine, day and night. That's fine. I mean, we find out from Paul, we are supposed to pray without ceasing. So anyway, he says here, served God with fastings and prayers. I need to fast, but not because of praying. I need to fast to get rid of this stuff I've collected. Got this prayers night and day. Have you ever been to a prayer night? Or what do they call them, prayer circle? Gather around the flagpole and let's pray. You got this schedule, 24-hour schedule, where everybody's going to be listed on this on the schedule, and then we're all going to pray, so it's one continuous prayer. Ever been a part of that? Well, how did that turn out? You know? Another one, Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. There it is. Have you prayed all night? Well, Paul says to pray without ceasing. Okay. So you don't go to sleep. You go to sleep. You have somebody pray for you while you're sleeping. Then you wake up and you take over the prayer. Skip breakfast. Skip lunch. Skip the job. Skip working. Skip your lawn. Skip, you know, buying groceries. All the stuff. Skip being with your kids and saying hi and da 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 da. And just pray without ceasing. Is that what Paul's talking about? We know better than that. But Christ, and it's interesting because he says went out into a mountain. See, to me, that says that's a cave. And people claim the mountaintop thing. Now, you read it. It says he went out into a mountain. That's a cave. That's not the top of a mountain. But anyway, we go down here. You go to Peter. You go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and your prayers are hindered because you're mad at your wife. And here's one in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know why your prayers aren't being answered there, congregant? It's because you must be doing evil somewhere, because God says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. You must not be being righteous, and because you're not hearing your prayers. You're righteous. You're not a righteous guy. You must be doing evil. Now, this was written when they had to be righteous. Their righteousness, yeah, they had to do the right thing. And this is written now in 1 Peter. During the tribulation, they will have to be righteous, not based on his righteousness like we are. We are righteous. We are today, if you are a sincere Christian, based on Paul's teachings, we are righteous. But it's not our righteousness, it's his that counts, Romans chapter 4. So as a result, he does hear our prayers. And yet we still do evil. Ah, but it's the sin that's in us that's doing it, it's not us. So he still sees us, and he still hears our prayers. Totally different. Rightly dividing is such a key to a King James Bible. Oh, it's amazing. And then here's one. But the end of all things is at hand. This is in Peter, 1 Peter 4, 7. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. Well, then people take you to Chronicles 7, where people that call themselves by my name should seek my face and pray, he'll heal their land. So you hear that all the time. You hear the prayer of David from the Catholics. You get the prayer of Jabez from all the modern Christians. But there's another prayer out there, too, that we're supposed to, that people talk about. There's probably a bunch of them. And you're supposed to watch under prayer. Boy, I'll tell you what, we can pray this nation away from this. We can. The things are going the way the Bible says they're going to go. So we pray without ceasing, but not to heal the land, because we know he's not going to heal the land. We know that. And anyway, that's a whole other thing there, too. So there's why, those are some scriptures right there. Those are why that a Christian, a modern Christian, gives up eventually, or just plays the routine, plays the game, gets a job as a pastor, teaches all the stuff he's been taught, and, do the routine, do the game. That is called religion. And a little bunny trail here, Paul in Acts chapter 19 tells us to despise. And I do despise. That's what's going on here. Go back to here, okay? I do despise this modern Christianity. I despise people. Here, the other day, here we go. Modern Christian lady, modern Christian family, okay? On the roof with the neighbors, putting on a roof, shingles and the whole bit. And it's a good paying job. Congratulations to the guy. But there's his daughter up there, short shorts. These are Christian people. And these are the people that are bringing kids to a modern church with the rock bands and the whole spiel, And they've got their long hair. They've got their super-duper long, fixed-up million-dollar hair. But they've also got the tank tops. They've also got their short shorts. There's mom up there with the tight jeans on. So they're flashing the neighborhood when they pick up the shingles, all this kind of stuff. There is zero modesty up there. And yet these are Christian people. And they think God's okay with it because they go by their feeling. That's what they said. I asked the one girl once, how do you know when you're doing the right thing or wearing the right thing or right music or whatever? It'll be God tells me. Well, how does God tell you? In my heart. Baloney. Absolute baloney. But see, I despise that stuff because they're snookering kids over that stuff all the time. And there they are on the roof. Women on the roof in the first place don't belong up there. I've said that for years, but who cares? And especially what they wear up there and on the ladder. See, this is what killed me back there in Washington because I preached Timothy and Titus. And who wants to hear it today? Not many. And I realize some people can't help it. They have to do what they have to do. I know that. It's a bad scene. But we got prayer, and we got a Bible to read to get us through this baloney life. Okay, so there are, those are the scriptures, some of the scriptures that showed us that these modern Christians, they deny the power of it. They're not Christians. They can call them what they want, but they're not a Christian. And believe it or not, we're supposed to turn away from those people. Well, man, Paulson, that's just like about everybody anymore. Yeah, it is tough. But like Paul said, you have to leave the world, you have to leave earth to get away from it. We can't do that. But get back into your roles as a woman if you can. Get back your role, get to a role as a man, and let's get this prayer thing understood and let's deal with it. So what is it that Paul does pray? What is it that Christ wants to do for us? Well, before we get into that, let's go to part two. Let me show you that Paul really did pray for us. I mean, he really did. Ephesians 1:16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul never quit praying for people. Of you. That Bible says the word you, in a lot of cases, is compared to generally, is talking to me. Okay? Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He prayed for us, and he didn't quit. Perseverance. He didn't quit. Philippians, always in prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Paul enjoyed praying for us. He says in Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Colossians 1:9, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He doesn't stop. Knowing, of course, that again, that Christ took one of the world's worst people who hated Christians, and now Paul is choosing, he prays for us, and all the stuff that he's been through, the shipwrecks, the tortures, the whippings, the hatred, the laughingstock, the lack of friends, the whole spiel, and he's praying for us. Do not cease to pray for you. Here's Epaphras, one of his buddies, always laboring fervently for me, for us, in prayers. 1 Thessalonians, making mention of you in our prayers. We give thanks to God always for you all. Making mention of you in our prayers. He talks about us in prayer. He says here, 9 day, praying exceedingly. See, so he still prayed night and day, but did he just stop and have a little prayer meeting? Did he constantly pray like that? How can you pray without ceasing? Which is what he says two chapters later. Pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Also, we pray always for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I thank my God, Philemon, when he's talking about a specific person, making mention of thee always in my prayers. So when Paul says he's praying without ceasing, he's really praying a lot. And part of his prayers are us. Now, here's my question for this morning, and we will go to the details tonight, but why would he do that? Why does this... Let me see who's still with us here and see if they can still hear what's going on. I'm kind of checking the congregation here. Okay. Go back to what I was doing here. Why would he do this? Why did Paul pray for us like he said he did? Okay, we'll look at that, and then we'll look at the details of what it is he prayed tonight. So let's get going here. Why would he do that? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter... Why would Paul do that? Why do you do that? Do you do that? Do you try to follow Paul in a prayer life of some sort? Without ceasing. Sometimes you ever wonder that, are you just talking to yourself? Are you praying? Are you just talking to the risen Savior? You're not talking to Paul, because Paul doesn't tell us to talk to him. He's not one of our saints that we pray to. Can't remember the name. I used to have it. Probably still do in a garage out there somewhere. A thick, must have been about an inch thick paper, booklet that I made of all the saints that the Catholics have to pray to for certain ailments or certain situations. And they had a guy that in the 1500s or 1600s, or it was probably 1700s, somewhere in there, died, choked on a chicken bone. But he was such a good person that the Pope back in those days made him the saint for those people who were choking on a chicken bone. So it's supposed to pray to this guy. I've always enjoyed asking Catholics, which I haven't done for a while, do you ever had a chicken bone stuck in your throat? You know, if you get a chicken bone stuck in your throat, you could choke to death. Yeah, I could. Well, do you know who to pray to? Well, I would pray to God. No, you're not supposed to. You're Catholic. You're supposed to pray to, I forgot his name now. You're supposed to pray to, you know, Clyde. What are you talking about? Well, Clyde's the saint for those that died that are choking on a chicken bone. Clyde will then talk to God for you whether or not they decide to fix the chicken bone stuck or not. That's how that works. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't either, but you're a Catholic, and that's what you're supposed to believe. You know, how many Catholics do you talk to that say, well, I don't believe everything the church teaches? Well, why not? If the church is of God, and the Pope is the man representative on this earth for God, then why wouldn't you believe the church? Everything that they say. Well, they change it all the time. Yeah, they do. For bunny trailing here. They do change it all the time. You know, the Mormons change things all the time. Used to be if you married a black guy, you'd be killed, kind of stuff like that. You know, that's all past. Couldn't be important in a church if you're black, but now that's different. All sorts of things have changed. Polygamy used to be okay, but now it's not to some extent. What about Christians? Well, they don't believe everything that they are taught either. Well, why not? Well, things are changing all the time. Different Bibles teach different things. Different denominations teach different things. Ah, see, there's the problem. We got a King James Bible. Do we believe everything we've been taught? Unfortunately, yes. Are we changing things we believe? Yes, we do. Why? Because we learn more. We haven't changed the King James Bible one iota. We're the ones that change. We grow. We learn, which is exactly what Paul is asking us to do. So his prayers for us are for us to change. Really? Yeah. We don't not believe and do. We realize now that what we read from Paul is suddenly solid. There's nothing to change anymore. It's there. If you don't want to do it, it's not because you don't believe it. You want to dress immodestly, go places you shouldn't be going. Da 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 da. You're not changing the truth. You're just going to do it. Doesn't mean that you believe that you shouldn't be wearing that, so you put it on anyway because it's hot. That's how we are. But the King James Bible. Okay. So Romans chapter, that was a bunny trail. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Here's why he cares for us like he does. Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Okay. Why? Because God knows if Paul does or doesn't. God is my witness that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So he knows God is his witness. Okay? Let's go here to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Or is there going to be 5? I think it's 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you in my prayers. Da, da, da. Why? He's heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. That's a problem I got, the love of all the saints. I guess I do. I sure get frustrated and irritated and grumpy and whiny. But then I realize, sit back. They got the flesh battle just like I do. I got the same flesh battle that they do. Back off, relax. But some people, I just have this care more than normal, and it does torque me when I know that they're forced or choose to do the wrong thing. Well, we can't live perfect. I know that. But when it comes to an outward testimony, that's so important for me to realize that we can follow Paul, we can follow the risen Savior, we can be happy about it, we can be joyful about it, but I get my days. Okay, so why does he do this? Because he's heard of our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love unto all the saints. There's another reason. Well, let's go to Romans 17 again, because I got to check these off here. Romans 17. Let's go back to Romans. Could have stayed there with it, but like I say, these are not totally organized, like in the old days. used to write to type these notes up beforehand, but not anymore. Romans, we can't go to Rome. What are you doing in Romans 17? What is this? Romans, okay, let's go to Romans 7. Romans 17. That didn't sound right anyway. Romans 7, 17. Nope. Romans 71. Okay, I'll look that one up later. Tell you about it tonight. I did it again. It's probably not Romans. What could it be? Romans 7? Romans 7? Whatever. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I have to botch up at least one verse of sermon, don't I? Maybe that's the only one I do. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. My pages are sticking together. They're so thin. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Okay, why does he do this? Because he's serving his forefathers with pure conscience. I thank God. Keep going. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, that's good, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. See, this is an odd thing. But we have our struggles, and we have our tears, and our frustrations. Paul's filled with joy. Isn't that strange? Look at that. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, I know you're having a hard time, but I may be filled with joy. Is he crying because tears because you're having a hard time? Keep reading. When I call for remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. See? So, Paul sees us having our tears. Paul sees us having a hard time. But he also sees us keeping our faith. And keeping his faith. And staying in the fight. That's where he gets his joy. He's not just joyful because we're having such a hard time. He's joyful if he knows that we're having a hard time and we still stay with it. That pleases Paul. Now, like I said, I like Paul. Paul is quite the guy. I mean, I get to heaven, as they say, I'll be Jesus Christ, no doubt. No doubt. But when I see Paul, that's something else, too. If, you know, the way they want to do this, the gates of St. Peter, stuff like this, all that kind of talk. To meet Paul, however, he's quite the guy. I really don't want to, I know I don't want to disappoint the Lord, but see, the Lord's got grace. The Lord paid for all this stuff. I realize that. That's bad enough. But when I meet Paul, he's right there. He's not my Savior. But he's been through it all, so I really can't whine to Paul. So if I've got my tears, and I've got my struggles, and my frustrations, and my fears and tears, all that stuff, but Paul gets a joy when he sees that we are still staying with it. People wear this bracelet, not so much anymore. What would Jesus do? WWJD, I think it is. Well, WWPD. What would Paul do? What would Paul say? I'll try that at school sometime. Make one of those up or something. What does this be? What does Paulson say? What are you talking about? Let's go to, just try Romans again, 1:6. Go back to Romans chapter 1. You might find that other verse eventually just by accident here. Romans 1:6 is probably, I'm going to say, let's look at 7. Maybe it's probably weren't Romans 1:7. No. Okay, let's not go to Romans. Let's go to Philippians. It's Philippians 1:6. There we go. All right, okay, so I messed up two verses. I got to stay with the program. I haven't changed all that much. Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, Paul's got confidence. Why does he pray for us all the time? Because he's got confidence. Is it in us? No, the confidence is in Christ. He has confidence in Christ that what Christ has tried to begin in our lives, that he will stay with us even when we quit and give up. Okay, let's say that one of you or one of us just blows the whole thing. And we just crash and we do something, wear something, go somewhere, whatever, like we haven't already anyway. We can get right up and keep going again. Why? Because Christ is going to continue to give you the strength to not do it next time. Where do you get that strength from? We know from our Bible reading. You study your Bible, you're not going to get these things to continue in your life. You've got to get into that Bible. So Paul's got confidence. If we stay in this book and we keep reading this thing and keep our strength going according to the scriptures and da-da-da-da, that he will keep working in us until he comes. The day of Jesus Christ. What's the day of Jesus Christ? Well, it's either the rapture or our death. Because when you die and meet Christ, that's the day of Christ for you. Okay? So look at verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. Boy, that guy, he really cares. He really cares. He cares, he longs after us in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That is really caring. So, he has his tears when we mess up. But he has his joy when he sees us stay with it. I have my tears when I hear what I hear. But my joy is when somebody gets back to it or stays with it. When I see something continue falling, the leaven leavening the whole lump, that's tearful. It also brings out my pride and my irritability, because I know somebody else is seeing that happening. One of those kind of things. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. I never get my timer started, so I have no idea how long this has been. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Wow. So that's why. He remembers our work of faith. We're trying. Our labor of love and patience of hope. He goes through the rest of that chapter. It's a small chapter. We became followers of him, and we became examples, and we sounded out the word. We told people about it. We tried to get the thing spread, not just by what we say, but by what they see in our lives. For in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. People need to see that Paul, I know this sounds weird, people need to see that Christ has entered us, not a problem. But people need to also see that Paul is taking care of us. Paul has gotten into our lives. Paul is not in my heart. Christ is in my heart. But Paul's teachings have entered into my life. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's why he prays for us. Because we have, and we should continue and fight the battle. People need to see that Paul's teachings have entered into us. And that's by what we do. We know all that stuff by what we do. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. We live those things in our lives, and Paul has entered into our lives by his teachings, and we are serving the living and true God. And when we don't do the right thing, we're serving the living and true devil. That's what we're doing. Our flesh. Sin. And according to Paul, we will. We will continue to do so. It's a battle we will always have. It will never go away. It's just like, here, just a wing thought here, basketball game. Okay, you get to jump. You get the jump ball, you take the ball, you run down to your court, you shoot, you make it, you win. No, you got to run back, they got the ball now. They shoot, they win. Oh, rats. I got to take that stupid ball, take it back over here, and put it in a basket. Maybe I can do it from behind this line, and I make 3 points. Ah, we hit. We win. No one goes back and forth all night long. And sometimes it's a boring game until the last 2 or 3 minutes. Then it's really hype. Then you're really going. Sometimes you jump high enough, you can slam that critter down through that net so the ball hits the floor before you do. You just stuff that thing. That's how we do some of the things in our lives. It's a battle all the time. Sometimes we need a quarter break and a halftime, don't we? Anyway. Okay. So, there's why Paul cares. Now, we looked at the verses of why people are so confused and so dead spiritually, even though they think they're alive religiously, but they're dead spiritually. And we looked at the fact that Paul did pray for us, specifically prayed for us, and we looked at why. Now tonight, let's go over what those things are that he prays for, and let's ask ourselves, do we even want this prayer answered in our life? We know it's going to cost a lot. We know what it's going to take. Some things easier than others. Are we going to try to adjust our life to where we can do this and get these prayers answered in our life? God isn't going to just blink them on us. We've learned by now that to do God's will, we've got to get into that book and read it, and then we've got to make it work. It's called a walk, not a float. It's called a walk, not a glide. It's like the train track. I started to talk about that. It's like the train. When it went to take off, there was no click, 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 all that. None of that was going on. That thing just glides along the track. Well, that's not a train. That's a glider or whatever. So it's just like we want our Christian life to glide. We're trying to get rid of the click, 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 click. And we can't. But we want to. So, let's get back to let me turn this thing off here.